All right, well, hello and welcome to the very special second part of a two-part episode covering the first two episodes of the Once Lost Media Micronauts series. For an explanation of what the deal with this series is, how it disappeared into the ether and how it became available once again, please refer to our previous episode. And that will
Or
also tell you
just
what happened.
like hit me up or just stand near me
Yeah.
and on at any point I will just unload on you.
It's like
Are
what
we the first podcast to cover this series? Maybe.
maybe.
I mean, some people have probably done news podcasts mentioning it before.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody's gone like through like the actual episodes yet though.
We have
Yeah,
derailed
no.
before we've even got to the roll call, so that's
But
we're
yes, oh,
doing
that's
great.
we do.
Yes, of course. I am, of course, as in last time, I am Bio Rob.
I have decided this time to be Gentilis.
And I'm David Defy? Acro Dave?
Acro Dave, sure.
David V.
Acro Dave
It's
Osborne.
Acroy Dave.
That just sounds like I'm a French, like, no, not wine. What is wine cooler? The Acro Dave. Anyway.
Previously on Micronauts, our heroes, who will in this episode be dubbed the Micronauts, followed the villainous Baron Karza, his robot pals, and a kidnapped time traveler through the portal of time, much like in Beastmaster 2, and they
A
ended up
space bridge.
Space Bridge.
Important terminology to make note of.
Yes, because we're in the part of the larger Hasbro verse.
Yes.
And they have ended up in some kid's garage. And that some kid is Cameron Ruck, a guy who may or may not have destroyed his mother's sports car.
Got it propped up, run it in reverse.
And or may or may not be the Sausage King of Hughes Valley. Or sorry, was it Hughes Valley? Hughes.
It's Hughes Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Abe Froman, Sausage King of Chicago. Anyway, so Baron Karza has escaped this garage, but and now our ragtag collection of Microzians are now face to face with the enormous Cameron Ruck, who's like a normal sized kid, but they're all action figure sized. So all Micronauts action figures are in fact 1-to-1 scale.
Yes.
Well, presumably they would have been if they'd ever made the toy line.
Yeah, except they didn't actually make them.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, it was definitely the point of the original series of Micronauts, and it's definitely like, yeah, they're toy sized.
Yeah, I feel that there aren't a lot of toy lines. I guess there's Toy Story.
Yeah.
And I guess Small Soldiers, if anybody remembers that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Small Soldiers, aka Transformers, one half. Oh, that's a movie we should watch since that's like the plot and at least one of the actors from the first live action Transformers movie.
Oh yeah, Kevin Dunn's in that, isn't he? Right. He's like the
Yes, Kevin
CEO,
Dunn
I
is the
want to s
dad.
Oh no, he's the dad, right.
Yes, he's the dad in both movies.
Right,
Kevin
right.
Dunn is in so many things. We couldn't possibly watch everything that Kevin Dunn is in.
No, we
Well,
couldn't.
no.
So many things.
But like that like Small Soldiers is almost note for note Transformers the live action movie.
Ooh, it
Yeah,
does.
I can see that.
Well, one of those Transformers movies should have had Dennis Leary in it.
No. I'm gonna say no.
No? I mean, I mean, he's generally either playing an Irish American cop or an Irish American criminal, or alternately, just Dennis Leary, as in the movie Demolition Man.
Yes. Or an Irish American fireman.
Oh yes, of course, of course. Cop adjacent, but yes.
Which I think that was his longest running thing.
Yeah, that show was on for a long time.
Yeah.
Anyway. These small soldiers are in this kid's garage, and he's kind of explaining that, you know, he's not giant. They're just tiny. This is like some sort of giant planet. You're just teensy little toy-sized guys, and I'm a regular-sized child.
Oberon is especially offended by this. Mm. Also, Cameron picks up Zant and taps at his head and says, is that your brain?
Yeah. And his brain changes color.
Yes.
It does!
Which, would that have been an action feature of his?
Oh,
absolutely.
Probably.
It's a weird action feature.
That's definitely, like I said, the series is so weird because there's, like, absolutely toy design stuff incorporated into it. Mm-hmm. I know Hasbro, especially with Transformers, they were doing a lot with, like, letting the cartoon do, like, bleed into, like letting the toy line take more cues from the cartoon. Like, Transformers Prime was definitely, like, a show first, but the show didn't make them do the armor for Beast Hunters.
No.
Yeah.
But this is very much, like, there's a lot that feels like maybe the design would have been led by the show people, but there's a lot of toy stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is definitely Zant's color-changing light-up brain.
Yes.
That everyone is fascinated by because he is the only one of his alien race hanging around with this crew right now. Mm.
So you know, they sort of explain who they are. He sort of explains what his deal is. He's like a kid who loves building stuff.
He's like, oh, I get it. You're Microsians because you're tiny. And they're like, no. So he kind of tries to call it out. It's like, no.
I half expected them to make a joke of calling this planet Macrosia. Or something.
Well, Marvel did many years later introduce a character called the Macronaut, who is from the Macroverse.
Is he just normal-sized, or is he giant?
Well, he's gigantic, because you...
Yeah, he should be Galactus-sized.
Instead of getting to his home dimension by shrinking, you get there by going up in size.
I see. Nice. In this case...
This was an Al Ewing character.
You do not get to their world by shrinking. It's just like, much like the Transformers are just an alien race that happens to be larger than humans... These are alien races that just happen to be very small compared to humans.
Mm-hmm. And then we cut to Karza, who finds that his power is growing on this planet.
Yeah.
And that there is indeed Micronium on this planet.
The planet has Micronium.
Well,
too much Micronium.
Part of that is why he came to the planet in the first place. There's just more than he expected.
Right. And I assume that there is some sort of connection between Earth and Microsia, which will be explained in future episodes.
Not a big one, but there is a smaller scale connection. Basically, Quintilis brought them to the right place on Earth.
Okay, but this isn't an Earth is also secretly Unicron type thing.
However,
no.
I am convinced that Micronium is, if not Energon, at least derived from Energon.
I think it ties
into the sword in the city, which never actually comes up and is never actually explained.
In the two seasons we got,
but there's a lot about Micronium, including the color, that feels very Energon related. And I think that part of that may be sort of that. Okay, so also a thing that never got used is apparently in if they were allowed to continue, one of the things that they had planned is that, much like in Earthspark, underneath Hughes Valley was supposed to be a Titan.
Oh. Ooh.
Like a Cybertronian Titan. So there were some, there's some things towards the end of the second season that's very much like, it only makes sense in the context of the aligned universe of Transformers Prime, especially Transformers Prime. There's something that's found that is obvious what it is, but they don't know what it is. But it's like, oh, yeah, that's that. But I think that's part of it. But then also there is actual like micro tech stuff scattered around Hughes Valley for a reason that is apparent later. So yes, that's my big like I said, Charlie Day with all the stuff on the wall and the yarn pointing between everything. Like I'm pretty sure Micronium is supposed to be Energon related.
So, you know, so we're now officially the Micronauts, and we're gonna set out and take down Baron Karza here.
Also, they have realized that this giant they have been working with is a child.
Yes.
And so maybe they aren't, especially Pelham is not so hot on including him in things.
Yeah. Well, also, they also make fun of the giant's tiny hands.
Yes.
Do you have tiny hands? No, he says, you have tiny hands. That was pretty great. He's so mad.
So Cars is sort of, I mean, it's not really a swamp. It's more like the shore of a pond.
Yeah.
But he's sort of, you know, find out where the Micronium is from the time traveler who can kind of see the future and who he's still got under his control. Pelham comes to get him. But of course, because he is unpartnered, he has nobody to help him when he is attacked by someone who is really neat and made of turtlenecks.
Yes. Because Baron Karz is like his little tentacles that it would allow him to take over people. Since he's been getting stronger here for some reason, he can do it without even touching the turtle. The turtle is just nearby in the lake. It's like a snapping turtle, but it's giant compared to Pelham.
It's definitely a giant kaiju.
Yes.
As far as Pelham is concerned.
It's around this point where Cameron refers to him as Baron Calzone.
Yeah. Yes.
So, and it is Cameron who rescues him from this turtle, who Cameron can easily hold up with one hand. So it's not like one of those like huge ass, like prehistoric monster looking stuff.
No, this is not the way to pick up a turtle.
Do not pick up a turtle by its tail.
No,
especially a large one, because it could hurt it. Like it's attached, it could break its little spine. That could be very painful if it's a heavy turtle. Mm-hmm. Two, the normal method, like to recommend it to pick up large turtles anyway, is to grab around their shell at the edges. That's also not great because you're grabbing their rib cage and it's holding them weird. The proper way is to grab them under the shell. Because like snapping turtles, like they can reach their head up over their back to attack shit.
Yes.
They can't really bend it under their shell. So it's better support for the turtle, and you're generally safer. Getting your hand under there in the first place is difficult.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess this one was just too busy trying to eat this tiny man.
Yeah, yes. This one was probably too busy being mind-controlled into eating this tiny man.
And also, like, if a small child can pick it up anyway, it's not that heavy. It
took
a turtle.
He's not that small. He's like
not going to hurt. Well,
early high school.
Yeah, wait, he's early high school. I would have guessed like middle school.
No, he's like a freshman.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's a turtle.
Okay. So now he's fine. You know, they're bringing this kid along with them. He's going to help out.
Yeah, because them splitting up to find Karza didn't work out, so they have to stay together and work together.
I like that they had Zant go with Biotron, who has a name now because he transmitted it to Obi, and Obi's just like, yeah, he just told me his name. Yeah. And everybody's like, that's weird, because this is supposed to be a stock standard, basic, mass-produced robot that does not do things like that. But I like that Biotron gets paired with Zant, who cannot stop talking.
Yes.
And he points out that he's the first Viserion diplomat,
mm-hmm.
which is not that significant, but is somewhat significant in his backstory.
So
he is a real diplomat, David.
Okay. I know. Believe me. It just... Like, in the first episode in the cell, it felt like it was, like, either he's crazy,
or he's lying
or something, yeah.
Oh, man, maybe he got arrested because he's always, like, racking up parking tickets the way the diplomats are in New York City.
Yeah. But they didn't believe him because there's never been a diplomat of his race before.
Hey, sure, I'll just type that up on my invisible typewriter here. So, Baron Karza has built a...
Is this town supposed to be like San Francisco?
It is very hilly.
Like, because it's got the hills and
we
things?
We do get some kind of coastal stuff. It kind of felt more like northeast to me, but it could be like west coast. It's probably just my like east coast bias.
Mm. Everything was just downhill.
Well, the trick is to see what side the ocean is on.
Yeah. Well, yes.
If it's on the right side, it's on the west coast. If it's on the I guess it depends what direction you're facing. Yes. I guess that's actually a terrible idea. Right.
I thought you were giving me like cinematography advice.
We have to figure out where the sun sets.
Yes. Or if there's a radio station.
I mean, there's no time that they're... The one time they're at sea, they are not in sight of the shore.
Ooh. Okay, well, I just have to assume it's right around the street, right down the road from Crown City.
Yes. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Or Central City, or Star City.
I mean, a lot of those DC cities now have, like, more or less locations...
Yeah.
Like how Metropolis is in Delaware.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, it is kind of hilarious that this extremely important city is in Delaware.
It is funny when important things are in Delaware.
I mean, I guess it's Delaware, like... It's, you know, you're not displacing anything important.
No!
By putting it in Delaware.
That's true.
You know, if it was in New Jersey, you got a bunch of real cities in there.
Yes, yeah. Gotham in New Jersey is weirder. It only makes sense because, it's across the ocean or across the river from Metropolis. It's like, well, then it has to be in Jersey, but, like, that's not where you put cities in Jersey.
And what always messes me up with DC is you've got the fake cities, but you've also got the real cities.
Yeah, like Metropolis and New York. That's always been,
I didn't realize they were doing that.
I feel that generally you
one
should
or the
have...
Other.
I don't think they've done it in the movie yet.
No.
I mean, there's only been the one movie.
Yeah.
But I generally feel like you should either have New York or you should have Metropolis.
Yeah. Having both is weird.
Anyway, we can discuss that, of course, if we ever get around to that Superman movie.
We will.
We'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Give it a few months.
So anyway, they Karza has built a doomsday device. I think I forgot to write down what this thing was called.
Sort of both. It's something that was his.
Okay.
It's the Micronihilator.
Micronihilator, that's it. I think I tried to type it and then my spell check decided to turn it into multiple different words.
Your spell check was like, no. No. Also, they do interchange successfully.
Yes. Or interchange.
Yes, interchange, because that is important toy selling stuff that needs to be done.
Collect them all, kids.
Yes, it's so weird. It's like the parts of Inhumanoids where they're just trying to sell toys that never got made. Like the parts of Inhumanoids that are about like Saber Jet and Gag Oil. It's so weird when they're trying to sell toys that never got made.
And so they track Karza down to the old abandoned amusement park. A playground at night.
Which is kind of the tiny version of an old abandoned amusement park.
Yeah. Yes. And so we play a fair bit of hot potato with this doomsday device.
The Micro-Annihilator.
Yeah, tossing it back and forth.
It is very football-shaped.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Hop and I, we get cars on his Goblin Glider again, although because of its circular nature, it kind of makes me think of the Jack-O-Lantern's Pogo platform.
Oh.
Which is more circular.
Yeah.
Guess.
That's fair.
And so they eventually this thing goes into the portal and it's heading towards their home world. And there's no way of going in to get it. So what they are going to have to do is they're going to have to destroy this portal, which will then track them on Earth and may or may not kill the time traveler.
They have to overload it.
Yes.
Yeah, they have to overload it, and because the time traveler is the one who opens these things, the only one who could open the space bridges, mm-hmm. like, overloading it will force feedback her short circuit, whatever.
Yes. So
sure, you need a reason to trap them on Earth.
Yes.
So as she says, she can close it at their end, but it'll still make it through.
Mm-hmm.
So they will have to overload it to actually get it to close on both ends.
Mm.
But she is connected to it. But she is also very stoic.
Mm. Yes. Well, she's seen the future. And, this is just where it was going.
Yep. She's doing that Doctor Strange things. I have seen all the possible futures, and this is the only one that worked.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, Karza is like, you foiled my plan here, but a new destiny has been revealed to me. One in which we will battle each and every week.
but there's the thing earlier when, like, I forget they're talking to him about it, like, no, he doesn't want to, like, destroy Microsia. He wants Microsia to be better. He just wants to be the ultimate dictator in charge of everything.
He just wants to make Microsia great again.
He wants to be Dr. Doom, and this is his,
Latveria?
Yes. Like, just give me command of it. I'm Dr. Doom. I know how to run this better than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, sure, because he's Doom. Let him have his Barovia.
So she does indeed overload this thing, and
Biotron does.
Yeah, Biotron does.
Because somehow he's full of laser energy or something.
He's just full of mysteries.
He's full of micronium because earlier in the episode when they're explaining micronium to Cameron, he is like, oh, so it's like machine blood that runs the machines. And they're like, yeah, basically. So he's just got a lot of it because he's all machine and he's not just wearing, like, a power suit.
Yeah, he's filled with the blood of Unicron.
Because everyone else is people who are just wearing power suits, but he is an actual robot, so he overcharges it.
Well, I guess it's one cyber, one alien, two basically regular people, and a robot.
Yes.
And I guess also the time traveler, who is also an alien. And the good news is she has survived the overload of this space bridge. The bad news is that it now appears she is permanently high.
Yes. And her accent has changed?
Yes.
It's more pronounced.
Well, no, it seemed like it went from, like, English to Australian or something.
I mean, it kind of just sounds like she's been hanging out with Nail and I. The important thing is, you know, it's possible she could reopen that space bridge, but unfortunately, Dave's not here, man.
Yeah. She does not remember Zant, and she does not remember what a space bridge is or how to open one.
And is she, like, just a member of the team from now on?
Yes. Yes, okay. She is, and she's great. She is just completely nuts, and she is just super fun, and I love her a lot.
I'm glad that this means that Fan doesn't just have to be the girl every time.
Yes, she does not have to be the girl. There are actually two, and yeah, she's Quinn is great.
Which pretty much beats out every Transformers series we've had up until, like, Earthspark.
Yeah, good job. Good job with this. Yeah. Plus, there's a bad female robot thing.
Oh, yeah. Yes, the...
Gamatron,
right. But, and then I assume there's also, like, a rotating cast of other bad guys that we're going to encounter eventually.
Yeah, there is a point where there are mercenaries involved, okay. Like, you know, tiny mercenaries. So yeah, there's the cast is built out. There's a lot of supporting cast that gets built out. But
I mean, I just figured you couldn't have 52 episodes where they're just fighting the same three dudes.
Yeah. So yeah, there are mercenaries. We find out more about what is going on with the High Council. Above and beyond just that one of them is Michael Bell. one of them is also Susan Silo, so you know that they're maybe not up to good things. Also, one of them is a time traveler with a beard.
Oh.
So yeah, they eventually get back in touch with Microsia. And there's a whole lot of stuff, and there's stuff with Pelham's dad, and there's, like I said, there's mercenaries involved, there's a lizard alien guy living in the sewers, and there's some crazy human science people, and one of them is Steve Bloom. Which is pretty great. And yeah, it's good. It's a good series. I have really enjoyed it. I'm really glad that it finally got released in some way, and I'm just frustrated that, like I said, it feels like it's from this parallel timeline where we had toys. And it was, like, actually on TV and acknowledged as a thing that exists instead of being this weird underground thing.
Yeah, it's more interesting to me personally because it was lost. But as is, it feels like kind of like just another season of Robots in Disguise 2015.
Yeah, it's...
Which isn't a bad thing. It's just...
No.
It's okay.
It is it's a very similar, like, balance of being serious and being kind of silly. Maybe a little more serious, but also just the plotting as a series is more cohesive.
Well, also, like, the formation, it's like, it's a team of good guys and questionable criminals who aren't really criminals.
Yes, and also...
who have to form together to stop some bad guys on Earth.
The good guys are just kind of, you know... these people thrown together by circumstances and you find out everybody's backstories, and it's just it's good. I enjoy it a lot. Quinn is so great. I'm glad we're doing the Christmas episode, because by then Biotron is speaking. When Biotron starts speaking, he's Maurice LaMarche.
Ooh.
What kind of
Maurice LaMarche voice is it?
It's kind of like a Chief Burns kind of voice.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
But, you know, very different acting, because he's a very different character, but it is a sort of, like, speaking voice kind of voice rather than a weird cartoon kind of voice.
I think it'd be more fun if he had an Orson Welles voice, but...
And we get Quinn just being a random weirdo.
I want to find out more about Zant, because I always like the weirdo.
There is more about Zant. There's a lot of Zant, and he does eventually get better about, like, being an active member of the team and not just being scared of everything.
Well, yes, because he has no skills that are good in combat currently.
Yes.
He just has four arms.
It's, you know, one of the complaints that people tend to have about Robots in Disguise 2015 is that there's not really, like, much character development.
Yeah, no, we don't really get backstories for them for that. But we get a little bit for Strongarm, and very vaguely for Sideswipe.
We just get Strongarm's ex showing up, and that's like 90% of her backstory.
Yeah. But Grimlock really doesn't get anything.
No, here we get backstories for everyone, and like I said, you have Michael Bell showing up. You have Dee Bradley Baker showing up. You have Steve Bloom. It's Cree Summer.
The voice cast is just ridiculously stacked. Cree Summer.
Ooh, yes. It's the voice acting is just like, oh, hey, it's that well-established voice actor.
Yeah, but like a lot of them, like at least in the main cast, like they don't. Like, they're notable actors, but they don't stand out. Like, Samwise!
Yes.
I wouldn't even have pegged who that voice actor is. He's sort of doing a character voice. It's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good series. I highly recommend it, especially right now when there's not a whole lot like it that's coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we don't have a new continue. There's no Earthspark season 3 or 4.
No, all we have is this weird, like, I don't know. I'm sure Cyberworld is fine.
Allegedly, there's more Earthspark coming out.
Maybe, yes. But I'll believe that when I see it. It feels like it's disappeared.
I'm a little concerned with the current state of Paramount.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe it'll find its way onto Internet Archive late one night as well, and I'll have to hurry home to make sure it gets downloaded.
Watch the skies.
Yeah. But yeah, it is currently on YouTube. I think I know the account that's been uploading it did not upload them all over the course of a weekend like I did.
No, they took like weeks, like most of a month. They're all up now,
I think. Oh, they are. I was gonna check on that. Okay. But yes,
I think so. I know they're at least somewhere in season 2.
Yeah, they have up. I'm gonna check playlists. Season 2 is yeah. Okay, come on. We don't need to play the audio. Yeah, it looks like it's all through the end of season 2. So yeah.
Okay. Well, hopefully it's still there by the time we get to it, to Christmas.
Fingers crossed. If they take it down, DM me.
Well, yeah, somebody will put it back up again, and archive torrents and things are around. Hopefully me and Rob will have time to get around to watching the episodes between this and Christmas before Christmas. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, what, that's 12 or 13 episodes in or something?
Yeah, about there. Since I have it up in front of me, and hopefully it can manage. No, stop. Stop auto-playing. Stop auto-playing. 18. Episode 18.
Okay, that's not that many.
Is the Christmas episode.
That's another 15 before that.
And yes, there is an episode called Rescue Knots.
All right, so until next time when we are,
back in Cyberverse. Oh,
yes.
Yeah, we are going to re-enter the Cyberverse.
Do we have to?
Seriously have one of my crazy conspiracy theories. There is a character who shows up in this who's a crazy conspiracy theory guy, and I love him. He's like Shattered Glass Dave Bot-Bots. My crazy conspiracy theory is that part of why we did not, why they were cheaping out on voice actors around the same time on Rescue Bots Academy and Cyberverse was because they were putting all their money into this.
It sort of lines
it,
up.
It is Boulder Media, and it's the same time period, which even makes it more of a tragedy.
Yeah.
Other things had resources cut to put into this that they then never actually showed.
Mm-hmm. All right. But of course, until next time, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Blue Sky, we are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net. Where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/iaconunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to all of our monthly episodes. We'd like to do, since we don't have like an option for an ad-free feed because we don't have an ad-filled feed. Instead, for our patrons, we do one fun special episode every month. Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's pain.
It's pain. Pain for us, which hopefully is fun for you guys listening.
Like in August when we watched an episode of the 90s Fantastic Four cartoon and it was deep hurting.
It was clobbering time for your wills to live.
What time is
it? I'm still shocked how bad that was. It's worse than I remembered I saw it originally.
So for October, I don't know if we're going to be having deep hurting or not, because I haven't even heard enough about this to know if it's supposed to be terrible or if it's supposed to be adequate. But we are watching the inexplicable 80s anime adaptation of the Marvel Dracula comic for our spooky season episode. It's on YouTube, right?
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
That's where we're going to be getting it.
It's on Archive if it's not on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay. Archive.org is good stuff. I highly recommend going to archive.org for things.
It's how we watch our monster movies, or how I watch the monster movies on the weekend.
I don't know if it's deep hurting, but it will be deep biting.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's good bad, but I haven't seen it for a while.
One way or another, it will bite.
Yeah.
Blah.
But yes, as little as a dollar a month, you can get access to all of our monthly specials. We're past 100 now, right? Or are we just about at 100?
I think we're right about there, I think.
Of what?
Patreon specials.
Patreon? Oh, yeah, we're like 104 or something.
Wow.
Yeah, we're like 104 of that. We're at 434 regular Stasis Pod episodes. Over a dozen bonus episodes. Another one will be coming out at some point. Probably after this.
Yes. Gets.
Like, before we get to our side. The one we recorded the other day, Rob.
Okay, yeah. We discuss another movie that was almost sort of lost media. In that yeah. it wasn't streaming anywhere for like a long, long time.
Man, I love some lost media.
Yeah, it had a DVD release, but was just hiding.
So yeah, you can. And again, for December, we are going to be watching the Christmas episode of this very series, is a lot of fun. And like I said, there's Quinn being her actual character, and there's Biotron talking.
Will we ever return to Micronauts for the full series?
I want to do it, but that's not up to me entirely. I do need to do a wiki, though.
Okay. If there's a wiki, so we can reference things.
Well, listen, I will have to get started on that, then.
Listen, write in and tell us. Do you want to see more Micronauts? Do you want to see more Cyberverse? Are you just turning the dial and you love the Speedo Man? What is it?
Well, eventually we might run out of Transformers unless we get more Earthspark or something else.
This is true. We are kind of getting to that point where we are getting ever closer to the present.
We'll do episodes that are just one episode of cyber world, and it'll be like a 15-minute episode, and half of that will be diversions.
I mean, I guess we could technically do that, but I'm not sure if cyber world we even need to do episodes. Well,
it's kind of fun enough. I would.
I know. Well, that's the thing. Like, there's such short episodes. It's like, oh, this one's fun. This happens. I'm not sure we could even make 15 minutes out of an episode.
Do them as we could, like, do the whole thing, and there's like a feature length special.
I need people to watch BotBots.
BotBots, we are going to do at some point, but again,
it's so good.
That would be shorter episodes because, like, oh, I love this joke. Like, I want Frost Ferratu.
Yes.
I need Frost Ferratu.
Well, I know the one of the toy that actually came out of him.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really look much like the show. There is some fan art and some fan merch that I've seen of him.
But you know that one of the episodes is just going to be David and I talking for about an hour about Chopping Mall. Possibly for the entire running time of the movie Chopping Mall.
Uh-huh. That's fair. I will rewatch it just for that. We'll just divert from that BotBots episode to talk about Chopping Mall.
Oh, I'm going to have to watch that movie with the two characters that are at the beginning that are a reference to something else, aren't I?
Eating Raoul.
Yeah. I've never seen that. That also a horror movie?
Kind of like a horror satire, sort of.
Oh, that could be good, or that could be horrible.
Yeah, it's a black comedy.
Oh, okay.
Oh boy, and believe it or not, it's got Robert Beltran in it. Star Trek Voyager's Chakotay.
Oh no! Oh no!
Also well known from, was it Day of the Comet?
He's in Night of the Comet.
Something like that. So we saw it on
Monsterdome. It's Night of the Comet.
Night of the Comet. And he's also in Lone Wolf McQuade, which was kind of one of the first big Chuck Norris movies.
Oh.
All right.
Anyway.
Yes.
Have we figured out what we're doing in November for Patreon?
Oh, we gotta find
yet.
We haven't recorded October yet.
We haven't even recorded October yet. Thanksgiving special, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Again. We'll see.
There are not that many Thanksgiving things.
There aren't. But there are more than zero.
All right. So until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen. Watch this show. It's so good.
And I'm Gamma David.
Squiggles are a squiggling with micronium.
Get back to my notes.
Okay, Rob, at some point you do need to buy a new mic or something, because like, it's not that it's bad all the time. It's just every once in a while, usually like about a half an hour into the podcast, like the audio will just dip out every once in a while. But I swear we don't hear it during.
Is it possible? It's like the screen, because sometimes the screen turns off. He hasn't been moving the mouse. Could that be causing it?
It could be.
It could be like a momentary thing, like when the screen kicks off.
Okay.
Where Audacity is not picking it up.
Okay, so I guess I just got to keep moving this mouse.
Or change your screensaver to not give it a longer span, or just turn it off. Or just keep wiggling the mouse.
Get some flying toasters, some pipes.
That could be it, because it's never at the beginning of an episode. It's usually a ways into it. That probably is exactly what it is.
Okay.
Like, it's like that split second when the screen turns off, it just fucks with
Audacity. That must be it.
Just enough.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe the power to the computer being down for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, like it thinking, oh, I have to turn the screen off. For a split second, it forgets it's doing audio.
Okay.
Okay, oh, I think we've solved that.
Okay. Huzzah.
Maybe.
Yay!
All right. So,
still, at some point, we should all probably get backup mics anyway.
Yeah, mine is like I don't know, like 6 or 7 years old now, so that might be worth doing.
Well, mostly, I wanted to get one to, like, take with my laptop when we go to conventions.
Yeah.
Like, presumably, Jen, you're going to bring one, too, but just have an extra.
I should start looking into a portable mic.
Yeah.
I want to go to Micro Center. I want an excuse to go to Micro Center. It's like an hour and change away, and it's through a perilous part of the interstate, but I want to go.
Go find a nice restaurant out there, or a weird thing besides the Micro Center.
I'll go to REI. That's out where REI is. Go buy that sleeping bag I want.
Yes, you look good. I need to get a new sleeping bag, too, at some point. My old one's still fine, but it's starting to tear.
I couldn't sleep in the one that I got, because it was a mummy bag, and I need to open up my feet. Too much. So I sold it. I'm going to put that money towards a new one that's bigger.
Okay, anyway.
All right, well, hello and welcome to the very special second part of a two-part episode